The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
Good morning. I'm Vince Martello, Director of Community Health Relations from the Ulster County Department of Health, and you're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Today's topic is, well, actually, it's something we're going to learn about, and that is human trafficking and how to recognize it, how to respond to it, and help prevent it as a community. And we have with us two very special guests. They are Amy Westberg. Amy is a heart-centered community organizer and educator. She's committed to building bridges of connection for human trafficking survivors. Through her past contract work with the Ulster County Safe Harbor Program, the Children's Home of Poughkeepsie, and Anchor of Hope, Amy has walked alongside these courageous and resilient individuals by providing case management services, mentoring opportunities, and support groups. Her work in prevention education has been recognized by the New York State Office of Children and Family, and she continues to provide community awareness trainings and understanding as to how we can respond to human trafficking. Our other guest is Jessica Jones. Jessica is an educator and counselor and committed to walking alongside survivors of human trafficking, both to empower and encourage them to use their voice throughout their journey of healing and recovery. She's worked as assistant director of Ulster County's Youth Advocate Program, and she too walks alongside brave and resilient teenage survivors, providing them with case management services and empowering them as well. And so welcome, Amy and Jessica. How are you?
Thank you for the welcome, Vincent. It's a rainy day, and I'm excited to have this conversation with you to kind of bring in some light to this topic. And just good to be here with you.
It's good to have you here. And it's, you know, and human trafficking is perhaps, you know, a term that many, many people have heard, but we really don't. I think the average lay person doesn't know a whole lot about it, and let alone how it might manifest in any community or our community specifically. But before we get to a definition, can you tell us, just briefly describe the Safe Harbor Program and the Ulster County Crime Victims Assistance Program, and tell us what that's about, what those are about?
Sure. So since its inception in 1979, our Crime Victims Assistance Program has been providing services for residents in Ulster County. And essentially what we do, we are specifically designed to recognize the special needs of victim survivors of a crime. And of course, all information is kept confidential and there's no pressure to prosecute. And in our services, we really focus on a survivor-centered approach, and we extend our services to Office of Victim Services. We have a 24-hour hotline. We give workshops. We provide support groups and really extend as many care services available for survivors as possible and really uplift their voice throughout that process. What is great about our program is that we've extended it to include Safe Harbor services. And Safe Harbor seeks to raise public awareness and educate human service people and community members, law enforcement professionals, about the exploitation and trafficking of youth for both sex and labor, which is a hard concept to grasp that this is really happening in our community. And we recognize that it's not enough to just react to these crimes once they occur, and it's important for us to prevent them from happening in the first place. So it's awesome to have Jessica on our team as a Safe Harbor coordinator to raise awareness and bring in this education to the community and professionals.
Prevention is really what it's all about in all public health crises, really. Prevention is so important because it's so much more consequential and expensive to try to address a crisis after it's already in motion, you know, versus preventing it. So let's start by giving our listeners, an overview. What is human trafficking? What does it actually look like in real terms?
Absolutely. So when looking at human trafficking, what we often hear and how it's broadly defined is the commodification and exploitation of human beings. We're going to go into a lot more depth about that as we go into this conversation. But what's happened is over the years, we've been paying much more attention to the tremendous opportunity that traffickers have to traffic youth here in our local town and county. As a result, we decided, well, the state decided in 2008 to adopt what's known as the Safe Harbor Law. This law was made to help divert youth who were involved in a trafficking situation and move them from a criminal justice or juvenile justice delinquent system and instead provide them with comprehensive services and provide them supports to help them move forward from that trafficking situation. I think it's important to remember that legally children can't consent to sex until they are over the age of 17. So by moving away from the legal aspect of it, we were able to give children the support that they need and the services to help build them up and move forward. And that's really what Safe Harbor does. And we help educate the public and professionals so that we're not looking at children as criminals, where we're looking at them as victims and survivors of this heinous crime.
Mm-hmm. And is human trafficking, I mean, how bad is it in our community? Is it actually happening in our local communities? And are many youth involved? What do you see on the ground?
Yes. So people who recognize the reality of human trafficking, who care about the safety of our community, often ask this question. And the reality is that, yes, human trafficking is happening in our area, and we do not know the extent of how often it is truly happening. And this is because human traffickers are so good at how to run their business covertly with various disguises. Sometimes they can become a pretender, someone who pretends to be something he or she is not, such as a boyfriend, a big sister, a father figure, etc. The list goes on. And with this intimate caregiver relationship, the trafficker will often become the sole provider for the youth. And by taking care of an individual's needs, this includes a place to live, food, medical needs. And alongside this, traffickers will meet their material wants and provide items such as cell phones and jewelry, nail treatments or hair treatments. And the youth feel really special and valuable within this relationship. And it's during this process of providing all these goods and needs where they start to make promises. This can be access to greater opportunities, an amazing job, a glamorous lifestyle, ability to travel, marriage, owning a home. Whatever the youth is looking for, they will grab onto that and try to manipulate the youth's mind into having what they want. And they'll look for a victim survivor to make these promises and keep the survivor hoping for one day that this will truly come their way. Mm-hmm. There's other form of disguises, and this can even include physical power or intimidation to protect an individual from a dangerous family member or being bullied at school. And sadly, after all these previous disguises have been exhausted, an exploitive person can often become a punisher or someone who uses violence and threats to control an individual. And if folks want to learn more about the disguises of trafficking, they can go to I Empathize website page for additional information on what that looks like.
And are some youth more vulnerable than others? What are the risk factors in terms of what makes a particular youth or group of youths more vulnerable than others?
Yes, that's a great question. So I love breaking down the word vulnerability and the different forms it can take on with empowering and being in an influential stance. So I'm going to walk us through this word slowly, this word vulnerability, and what it truly means, because it's important for us to recognize vulnerabilities because they are areas traffickers will target specifically to take advantage. And everyone has them. This means everyone is vulnerable to being trafficked. And essentially, within the contents of trafficking, a vulnerability is an unmet need an individual has. And when this happens, the unmet need becomes an empty space. And this empty space becomes a gap. And we can consider this gap as an opening, which is another definition of vulnerability. So with this indication that something is missing, it increases the likelihood of someone being harmed. And when our youth have gaps, it means that they are in need of something or it went unmet, whether that was in their family system or their friends group, or they feel like they have this inherent need that is just being unmet. And we may find ourselves looking for alternate methods to fulfill this need. And so this is what creates the risk. And throughout our lives, we can encounter people who do not have the best interest in mind. And traffickers seek to find the gaps and use this to their advantage to manipulate and control youth. And so youth can become vulnerable to these tactics because they've had limited opportunity to develop any sort of reference points to recognize the risk of harmful intentions. And we have this inherent need as humans to connect with others. We are hardwired connection. We are ingrained as humans to want to hope people have good intentions. And so this is why it's important as caring adults to see these vulnerabilities in youth. And I know Jessica will talk with the red flags and what this can kind of look like more so. But it can go into abuse or neglect. People who are struggling with addiction have long periods of parental absence, of being bullied, exposed to gang activity, and or members of a marginalized population, just to name a few.
We'd like to learn a lot more about that, but first we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio.
At WMC Health, we know emergencies don't wait, and neither should our patients. That's why we pledge to see you within 30 minutes or less at Health Alliance on Broadway in Kingston, and at Margaretville Hospital on Route 28 in Margaretville. Our emergency departments offer safe and protective environments and are backed by the full services of our WMC Health Network hospitals, right there if you need more care. If you have an emergency, please call 911 or go to the emergency room closest to you.
To protect her home and family in a disaster, Karen was willing to wade through water, mud, and insurance paperwork.
Yeah, I can do this.
You go, Karen! By simply understanding and updating what her insurance covers and doesn't cover now, she'll be better prepared no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. And today we're talking about human trafficking, how to recognize it, how to respond to it, how we can help prevent it as a community. And our guests are Amy Westberg and Jessica Jones. So Amy and Jessica, before the break, we were talking about youth who are at risk and some of those risk factors. Is there some kind of screening process that either agencies or providers or even family members can use to determine whether a child might be at risk?
Yes, that's a great question. Absolutely. So New York State, every county within New York State through the Department of Social Services is required to do a screening of every single child that's involved in that department. They have a rapid indicator tool, but they also have a comprehensive tool, which is done in the format of an interview with that child. And what that screening does is it allows us to rank that child of how high risk they are of actually being trafficked. The screening can show whether they are low, medium, high risk, or actually confirm that they are currently involved or have been involved in a trafficking scenario. So that is one of the bigger tools that we use throughout New York State to confirm whether someone's at risk or is being trafficked.
And what are some of those red flags that they look for in that screening, or even that a person who's not a professional might recognize in a young person who they know or perhaps is a member of their family?
Yeah, so they're looking at a whole bunch of different things. And these are things that you can look for too when you're having discussions with youth or just by knowing that youth. Some of the big things that we really look for are relationships that the youth may be involved in, whether it's friendships or a romantic relationship. We have some red flags. Obviously, if somebody is with a youth is with a significantly older partner, that should be a red flag in itself. We're also looking to see if that partner is considerably controlling. Maybe they're making that person disconnect from their family or friends. And if there's any indicators that the relationship that that person that youth is involved in is violent in any way or mimics some a domestic violence relationship. In regards to labor trafficking, we're obviously looking more at working conditions. Oftentimes, when someone's involved in a labor trafficking situation, they may have irregular or extremely long hours that they're working. They may be working in extreme climate situations where they're having really bad sunburns or hypothermia. They may also make mention that the person that they're working for is holding their documents, has possession of their visas or their IDs. So that is another red flag that these tools, this comprehensive exam is looking at. Some other things that we say that you should be aware of is if this youth has designer clothes or unexplainable cash. If a child's 14 years old and doesn't have a job but is regularly showing up with large amounts of money or high-end electronics that they may not be able to afford, these are things that we should always be taking note of. And finally, excessive travel as well. If this child is traveling or telling stories about traveling to different places throughout the country or even within the state, and if when telling that story, there's gaps and it doesn't seem to make sense, these should be red flags that we should be trying to get more information from that youth and engage them in a conversation and find out if they're safe or if they're possibly being trafficked.
And with respect to the working condition red flags, I'm assuming that that's very applicable to the immigrant community and maybe the migrant farm worker community, perhaps. What are you seeing in that realm?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Amy touched base on the fact that unaccompanied minors or those who don't speak English as their primary language are often more vulnerable to being trafficked. And so, yeah, oftentimes in working conditions, labor trafficking situations, we can see that it is more likely that someone from a minority group is going to be a possible victim, excuse me. But that doesn't mean that those who are not a minority are also at risk of being trafficked.
And with relationships, do parents have the legal right to break off something that they see happening? I mean, is there an age cutoff for that, or do you perhaps know the answer to that? If like say a parent sees that a child is with has a significantly older partner, or sees some of those other warning signs. Do they have the legal right to say, hey, you can't, this has to end now? Or is that something, does that not apply after the child reaches a certain age?
I think that's a thoughtful question to ask. And one parents can be concerned about for sure if they're seeing their son or their daughter interact with someone who's significantly older, just because of that difference in life experience. And if someone with that life experience is expecting a youth who is under the age of 17 to engage in a romantic relationship, their maturity level, their dynamics with the brain neuroscience and what they're developing with their intimacy, their sense of self. That is all at different levels, I think, that would be concerning for a parent to see. And that's where I think Safe Harbor Services come in to contact Jessica and be able to ask her the question, hey, this is what I'm seeing in my daughter and my son, and I'm not really sure what's going on. But to not push away that conversation, just to remain curious about this relationship and what the parent could be missing at that point, or maybe what the child may need that they're getting from this relationship that they are trying to pursue. And it goes into, I think, also the way people can pose themselves online, that youth are engaging online. They're talking about their story. They're giving away really these unmet needs. If they're being bullied at school, if they are trying to seek a glamorous lifestyle or what have you, they're telling their stories and being super vulnerable. And I think we can come alongside that and just ask, you know, what is going on here that is causing you to want to engage in this relationship? What are your needs that maybe you're not being met at home? How can we kind of circle around this youth to bring them in rather than pushing them away? Because the last thing we want to do is have someone feel shamed because they are in pursuit of love. They're in pursuit of happiness, because we want someone to experience that joy and healthy relationship. So what education can we come alongside youth who are maybe engaging those relationships to bring in that education? And Safe Harbor does that.
And so as parents don't really have to go it alone. There's definitely help, which really segues into the next question, which is how can we as individuals, family members, and community at large respond to human trafficking? What can we do? Which is always an important part of the equation.
That's a great question. I would say one of the best things that anybody can do as a community member, as a professional, is continue to expand their knowledge regarding human trafficking, both the warning signs and also how prevalent it is here in New York State and even in Ulster County. As an educator for Safe Harbor, I offer fully remote free trainings regularly to our community members now that we are in the world of using Zoom. And these trainings really take an in-depth look at what human trafficking is, who's being affected by it, and what somebody can do if they suspect that someone's being trafficked. You can learn about these you can learn about these trainings on our Ulster County Crime Victims Assistance Facebook page. We also have an Instagram. If you suspect that somebody is currently a victim of a crime or that a crime is going to occur, we also have a 24-hour hotline where somebody can reach out and they will be met by one of our counselors and educators. And if it does appear to be a trafficking scenario, that case will be brought to me and I'll be able to run those things past everybody.
Can you give us that hotline number too?
Yeah, absolutely. So our hotline number is 845-340-3442. And again, that is a 24-hour hotline, 7 days a week.
That's really great. Well, you know, there couldn't be more important work than what the two of you and your colleagues are doing. So we really thank you for it and really grateful that, you know, these resources are available in our community. It's really terrific. And unfortunately, you know, whenever we have an interesting topic, and this one certainly is, there's always too little time. So for now, we, you know, urge listeners to go to the Facebook pages, go to the website, Ulster County Crime Victims Assistance Program, Safe Harbor, and educate yourself and seek help if you need it. You know, don't be afraid to do that. Thank you so much, Amy and Jessica. We really appreciate you being here. That's all the time we have for today. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.